the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians, chapter 6. Been a real joy to be with you today. Glad for the rain showers. And so the Lord is blessing us in a very particular way and sending the rain to us. We trust that as the word is ministered, it will be profitable to us as well. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Sure that the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word and the hearing of the same. In Psalm chapter 3, we have an expression at the end of verse 3 concerning God himself as being the lifter up of our heads. And there is a great need for this kind of ministry in the church today. A lifter up, being a lifter up. So it is so easy to fail to do just that. But we read here how that the apostle is addressing the idea of restoration, for example. He says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Restoration is a work which is so beautifully done when it is carried out according to the Word of God. Sometimes we fail to do so, and sometimes as a result of our failing to do so, then there's a tremendous amount of loss to the church itself and to individuals, for that matter, who are in need of restoration. And so we have this great challenge that is before us. But you notice it is ye that are spiritual. Carnal men, carnal women cannot, carnal Christians cannot be involved in the business of restoration. There's a warning associated with it. It says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You see, there's various ways in which one can be tempted in this realm of restoration. We can be tempted to decide we're going to be policemen, where there can be a temptation to say that we're going to whip somebody rather than restore someone. But nevertheless, there is this challenge, and it goes out to those who are spiritual in the local body of believers to be certain that we are in the spirit of restoration when there is a need for this particular function to take place. The second thing he talks about here is bearing one another up. Bear up under one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens. And if I take this to my heart, then I will seek by the grace of God not to be a burden to you, or that I will seek not to be a burden to others, but I will seek by the grace of God to be a helper, a bearer of burdens. There are those with whom we come in contact who have a tremendous amount of burden. We go through various circumstances in our lives, and there's a great need for this kind of thing. There's a magazine that is being, I think it is still published, it's called the Counsel Magazine. I subscribe to it for some time, but my subscription ran out, and I think it's still in print, though. But that's the title of it. It's Counsel Magazine. It's published, I think, up in Canada. But anyway, you can, one of the idea of the magazine, it shows you on the front cover of the magazine, these two individuals walking along. And it seems like it's an older one with a younger one, and there's counsel that is being given to, perhaps, from the older one to the younger one. There's a need for this. Younger ones have a tremendous amount of energy sometimes, but there's a great need for counsel in regards to the circumstances and in situations. But in addition to that, there is also, for the older ones, we that are getting older, I was saying today there used to be some old men, there used to be some old preachers that I could go and talk to, and there aren't any anymore. And somebody said, "You're it." Well, be that as it may. But there's times whenever even young folks and older folks as well are in need. There's times when they are bearing burdens in this life and they're going through difficult circumstances. And so the writer is saying, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. A couple or so weeks ago, I was out in Dallas, Texas. My grandson was graduating from college out there from the Dallas Baptist University, I believe it was called. And he is finishing up a degree there, and I went out to be present for the graduation. But I was very impressed with the entire the ceremony, the graduation ceremony, all that was associated with it. There were certain various things which stuck out. And there seemed to be, what was projected there was a tremendous amount of this very thing that we're talking about here, bearing one another's burdens. That was the chancellor of the university who said that earlier this year he had been stricken with leukemia, or diagnosed with leukemia this year, been a jogger, and what would consider to be the epitome of health for his age. And yet there he is, he's stricken with leukemia, and he was so weakened that day, he stood up and addressed the audience for a few minutes, but when he was awarded the degrees, he was sitting down in a chair, and someone was helping him there. And what a tremendous testimony here. This man is receiving, there's a responsibility that he has. There are those who will come alongside him and give him assistance in that particular set of circumstances. And he was thankful, he said, for all the prayers that so many had prayed for him, the students as well as the faculty. There was also on the program a young fellow from Japan who was in the graduating class, and he had come there from Japan, they said, 4 years ago, and began the schooling process there on the campus. And when he came to this institution, he was not a believer. But he was, at this point, he is now a believer, having trusted the Savior. And he was the one that they asked to read from the scriptures from the platform that day. And they said, they reminded us that this man came from a country, from a culture in Japan where, according to what they said, that only or not more than 0.5% of the total population are Christian. But he had come into this atmosphere where there was such an overwhelming presence of the Spirit of God among the people there, that he is now a believer. And I watch our young people. I see it in my home area. Young people who come to our assemblies year after year, not just for 4 years, but sometimes for 24 years and maybe 40 years, and never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but there's a tremendous challenge to our hearts, is there not? to be able to bear one another's burdens and show this or demonstrate to those around us this great privilege and this great ministry that is ours who belong to the Savior. There was a third man who was on the program that was really impressive. He was a young man who had graduated from the institution several years ago. And he was a young black man, and he is now, they said, he's a pastor of one of the largest evangelical churches in the Dallas area. And he told us a story that really stuck with me. He said he was in Alex Haley's office. Alex Haley, if you're not familiar, he was the one who did the story of Roots, and he traced his ancestries back, I think, over to Africa someplace. I didn't read the book, and I haven't seen the movie, so I'm simply acting in secondhand information on that. But the thing is, he was telling about being in Alex Haley's office on one occasion, and he saw this picture on the wall of a turtle sitting on top of a fence post. Get the picture? A turtle sitting on the top of a fence post. What's the lesson? He said he couldn't quite figure it out, but when he had the chance to ask Alec Haley about it, he said, "I keep that there as a reminder that I didn't get where I am by myself." And so it is, you see, bearing one another's burdens. What a tremendous lesson. We didn't get where we are by ourselves. We needed someone else to help us along. So we have the privilege now as fellow believers and as Christians to be able to encourage others and to help to sustain others in their situation. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Didn't he do the ultimate as far as bearing burdens were concerned? When he went to the cross of Calvary, there he took upon himself the sins of man. The sin of man. He bore in his own body our sins on the tree. And had he not borne my sin, my lot today would be, as John Bunyan says in one of the lines in Pilgrim's Progress about the burden that was on his back, it would have surely landed me in hell. So bear ye one another's burdens. And then he says to us, don't deceive yourself in verse 3. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, it's all right for me to say that I am nothing, but I kind of have it difficult when you tell me I'm nothing. I don't sometimes, and I've had people to tell me that. But he tells us here that we think we're somebody, or we think we're something, and we're nothing. He says we're deceiving ourselves. But we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And sometimes I don't know exactly how high I'm supposed to be thinking of myself. But we'll go on from that and not spend too much time on that because we don't know a whole lot about it, I suppose. But in verses 4 and 5, he tells us that each one has personal responsibility. See, back in the earlier verse, verse 2, he tells us to bear one another's burdens. When one is burdened with the difficulties of this life and the world in which we live, and there are those times when we are there. I've been there. You've been there. If you haven't, you will be. And there's a need for someone to come along and just simply maybe place a hand on the shoulder and say simply, we're praying for you. You don't know what that really means. There is a place that I go to occasionally up in New Jersey, an assembly up there, and there's a brother I communicate with quite frequently, and he said to me on several occasions, he says, your name is called in our prayer meeting every week. What a tremendous privilege to know that you are, what a tremendous word of encouragement to know that someone is thinking enough of you, thinking enough of me, to pray for me, to call my name in the presence of God every week. And it's been going on apparently for 30 years. So what a and so there is this element of bearing one another's burden. But he says, but now everyone shall bear his own burden. You see, there is personal responsibility. I have personal responsibilities. I have charges that are given to me that I'm responsible to do and I'm responsible for carrying out. And so this is my responsibility before God. And part of my responsibility is to pray for others. Part of my responsibility is to minister the Word of God, to study the Word of God. Part of my responsibility is to be obedient to the Word of God. And so we have these, and you see various aspects of it. There's a community of interrelationship that we have set before us in this passage of Scripture. And so we remember, I might mention to you that in Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, he talks to us there about the Lord being a lifter up of our head. You've seen this. You may have been there once or twice in your life where you've perhaps seen this individual on the bed, unable to lift up their head, so weak. And there's a need, and they may call for some water or something to drink or whatever. And someone, or they may just say, I'd like for you to fluff my pillow a little. You know, I've seen this. Would you fluff my pillow a little? Just lift up my head a little. I'll feel a little better. Or I would like a glass of water. I'd like a sip of water. And somebody goes and lifts up the head so the head is in a position that they can swallow just a sip of water. What a tremendous ministry. Just to lift her up of the head. But of course, there's times when the head is hanging down. And Hebrews tells us to lift up the hands that hang down. But sometimes our heads are hanging down. So bowed down with burdens of one sort or the other. And when one comes along and just simply gives a word of encouragement, many times this within itself is a lifter up of the head. In Exodus chapter 17, there's a story there. It's a couple of events which takes place in the history of the nation of Israel. In the early part of the chapter, you'll remember, there is a time whenever the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were thirsty. And God tells Moses, you take that rod that you had in your hand when you came across the Red Sea, you take it and come to this rock and you smite the rock. And when he smote the rock, there was water gushing forth. What a blessedness. Well, we think of the rain that is coming to us today. And we're so thankful for it. Why? Because there's such a need for rain in the area. And we're so thankful to God for it. And here they were in the wilderness. Million people or more. Needing water to drink. And God simply says to this man, you smite the rock. And the water gushed forth when he smote the rock. And then right after this event, you read these words, then came Amalek and fought against Israel. And Amalek many times in the Old Testament is a picture of the flesh. It's a picture of what we are according to nature to a great extent. And isn't it true that so many times in our lives, just after we have had some spiritual blessing, the flesh begins to show itself? Oh, I can be so proud. Look how the Lord used me. You've never been there? Well, the flesh can show itself. I can't do this. I'm not able. Have you ever been there? The flesh works in so many different ways. It will exalt us to make us want to look better in the face of someone, or it will cause us to try to debase ourselves and make us ashamed. And the reason I'm ashamed is because I'm too proud to fail. I'll look bad in the eyes of others. But I've had so many failures in my life until I shouldn't be bothered with that particular characteristic. I'm just simply confessing to you some things that you probably already knew about me. But the thing is, here we are. Amalek comes. And the flesh begins to bother us. Things of this world. And they will attack us in so many different ways. By the way, it doesn't get any better as you get older. No better as you get older. I'm probably the oldest one in the room right now, so I can tell you that. And so the thing is, as we look at these things, or what do we see taking place? Moses says to Joshua, you go down in the valley and you fight against him. You go fight Amalek. I will go up on the mountain and I will lift up the rod before God. I will sustain you in prayer before God. Now, which was more important? I don't think we can measure it that way. Both of those are vital. Then so we have one in the valley that is fighting, one is on the mountain that is bearing him up before God. Bear ye one another's burdens. And it says, as long as Moses held his hands up, Israel prevailed. But his hands got heavy. And you know what that is like. His hands get heavy and begin to come down. And when his hands would come down, Amalek would prevail. And so they took and they had a rock there, and they allowed Moses to sit on the rock where he wouldn't be so tired. Not only did he have the rock there where he could sit and rest himself, but he had two men there with him, one on either side of him, holding up his hand, one on either hand or either arm, holding him up, to help to sustain the one who was interceding in the behalf of the one who was facing the enemy. So there's a ministry for all of us, isn't there? There's a way in which we can all be involved in the work of the Lord. And as in a day or so the new year begins, may our hearts be challenged in this direction. May our hearts be duly exercised. That when there is the battle going on, and there are those who will be facing the battle in the year that is before us, if the Lord spares us to live here on the earth. And we will need your prayers. There will be a need for one who is bearing us up before the Lord. And there will also be the need for those to come alongside and hold up the arms of those who are bearing them up. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The Lord is a lifter up of our head to be able to comfort us in our weakness, and He would have us to be a lifter up of one's head, that we too can minister to those who are experiencing weakness of various sort. If a man is overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Why? Lest thou thyself also be tempted. I remember years ago talking to a young man in Augusta, Georgia, and he was telling me something about his spiritual experience before the Lord. He said he had recently gotten saved, and he told a story. It was, sometimes you hear stories that it makes you wonder if it makes you or it makes you wonder if the person is really telling you the truth. Now it was such an exotic kind of thing until it was almost unbelievable, I guess is what I should be saying. And I sat there and I listened to his story. And he was telling me about things that I didn't know anything in this world about. Didn't know such things existed in this world. And you know what the flesh in me began to do? The flesh in me began to become envious of him and his experiences. Because I look back at my life and I've had such a dull life. I've had no experiences that I can boast in like that. You see how devious the flesh is? We have to guard against this kind of thing. Considering yourself, lest you also are tempted. And this is one of the problems, this is one of the challenges with elders in your local assembly who are dealing with discipline problems. And they begin to hear something of the details of what is really going on. And you say, well, and the flesh can come in and begin to become devious in those kind of circumstances. But there's a great need for us bearing one another's burden and fulfilling the law of Christ, being a lifter up of the head, being one who sustains, being those who sustain others in their battle in this world. We said this morning that the church, in many instances, the church is on the water and the wind is contrary, the waves are furious. And it is true. There's a tremendous onslaught in the church today, in some instances, to turn away from the truth of the Word of God. You know as well as I that in our society today there is this definite movement in society to get God removed from every vestige of the human experience in this world, in our country. And the tragic thing is the church in many instances is following suit, and they're taking away the Word of God as the authority in the Christian life. And there is a substitution of so many other things, human reasoning, human philosophy, and whatever else it is. I remember years ago a man was telling me about one of the most noted television evangelicals, using that in a not too guarded extent. He called himself an evangelical. But I was told that he would not even allow a Bible to be brought on the television set in his broadcast. But he was one of the most popular so-called evangelicals in the continental United States until he crashed. And so you have, and so there's a great need. There's a challenge in our world. And there's the evil one is seeking to do what he can to remove the testimony of the Lord from the general population of our people, I believe. So many countries already it has occurred. Some of the most evangelical countries, England, for example, I'm told that the evangelical church in England is losing ground by leaps and bounds, so to speak, bounding in a negative fashion. And unless we as a people seek to hold forth the truth of the Word of God, it can happen to us. May it be that the Lord will encourage our hearts, and may it be that we will be used by the Spirit of God to be those individuals who will seek to sustain, to seek to encourage, to seek to come alongside, because there is such a need. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we're thankful this evening for your word. We're thankful for the grace of God that has brought salvation. And we're thankful, too, for the community of thy people and the encouragement that we can receive from one another. We're thankful that you've made us, that we need one another, and that we can use one another, and that we can encourage one another, and we can be encouraged by one another. Our Father, help us simply to do as thy word says. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ in his own precious and worthy name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.